So this has been masterfully organised, yeah, this whole thing. So we actually did the Chazara on the piece I just wanted to speak about.
That's the best.
So basically, right, so this is the thing. So I'll speak out a little bit, just the Gemara and then the question that I was going to ask, yeah? So basically, we've got this machlokus, right, between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, yeah, about the case where you have an egg, right, that's born, let's say, on a Shabbos, yeah, and the next day is a Yom Tov, right? So the question is, can you have it on the Yom Tov, right? So the Gemara initially obviously wants to set up that machlokus. So Rav says you can't, and Rabbi Yochanan says you can. And initially we think it's a machlokus that Rav is holding this one kedusha, right? Which is kind of, you know, that means it's basically kind of one long day, yeah? And that's why he says you can't have it, because it's obviously we know it's Asr on the first day, and therefore the first day is really extending to the next day in a sense, yeah? And Rabbi Yochanan would not say that. Rabbi Yochanan would say it's two kedushas. So we kind of reject that. We reject that on the side of Rav, and we say, well, no, yeah? Actually, Rav is agreeing that it's two kedushas, yeah, and it's a separate problem of Chana de Rabba. Okay, but what comes out is for Rabbi Yochanan, yeah, he's obviously again holding it's two kedushas, yeah, and he's also not holding Chana de Rabba, so that means, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't produce enough, I should produce more, I'm sorry. Someone able to share maybe, if whatever, anyone, okay. I'm sorry, okay. I should know next time. Get more. Anyway, so once again, yeah, Rabbi Yochanan basically told him there's two kedushas, no problem, chanda de rabba. And therefore it's permitted on the next day. Fine. Okay, that's the background. Then we have basically a story, a maisa, yeah? And Rav Ada Bar Ahava and his host. And the host comes to Rav Ada Bar Ahava and, hey, he's got an egg that was born on the Shabbos, yeah? And he wants to know, can he cook this egg, yeah, in preparation for the next day, right? So he's obviously knows quite a bit because he knows he can't eat it here on the Shabbos. It was born on the Yom Tov, yeah. And he knows he can't eat it on the Yom Tov, right? And he knows he can eat it on the next day. But his real question is, can he now cook it on the Yom Tov, right? And have it the next day, right? And Rav Ada says, wait a sec, yeah? I can see you're holding like Rabbi Yochanan. But the bottom line is, yeah, Rabbi Yochanan would say you'd have to have it raw the next day. Why? Because effectively, today, on Yom Tov, it's muktzah. And that's the answer. So the question I wanted to ask was, well, I was bothered when I saw this, was, wait a sec, slowly, slowly, yeah? Surely there should be a bigger problem of muktzah here. What is he suggesting he's going to do? He's going to go in, he's going to take this egg, he's going to cook it, yeah, for after Yom Tov, right? Now, halacha l'maaseh, we kind of all know, hopefully, yeah, that the heter of ochel nefesh, yeah, that you can do things like certain malachas on Yom Tov, right?
That is the teretz, though.
Pardon?
That is the teretz, though.
Well, no. Well, wait a sec. The teretz is that it's muktzah, right? But muktzah, we know, is a problem de rabbanon. But let's say, for instance, yeah, that you're on a Yom Tov and you decide you just want to cook something for later on in the week, yeah? Right? Then, you know, you go to your rabbi and he'll say, don't do that. That's probably a deraisa, yeah? Because, you know, you're only allowed to do malachas on Yom Tov for ochel nefesh on Yom Tov, right? It has to be a Yom Tov dikka need, yeah? If you're doing a malacha on Yom Tov for after Yom Tov, you're cooking on Yom Tov for after Yom Tov, there's a serious shaila, right, of doing a malacha deraisa. Yeah, it's much more problematic than muktzah.
Yeah, not just a chana, Yosef.
Isn't that true?
No, it's a malacha.
Pardon?
Isn't that only true if you hold a chana?
No, I think generally it's without even without a chana, yeah. Because when you think about it, the starting point is, yeah, right, that you're only allowed to do malachas in Yom Tov because of ochel nefesh, right, of Yom Tov. Now it's true. We're going to see as the second goes on, yeah, that kind of the ochel nefesh gets a little expanded by concepts like mitoch and things like that. But what we'll see is there has to be a Yom Tov dikken. The ikki yesoda is, yeah, even when it gets expanded, there has to be some kind of idea that it's some need of Yom Tov in some ways, yeah? Right? Something which clearly has nothing to do with Yom Tov, yeah, and you're just doing a malacha on Yom Tov, that's going to be very problematic, yeah? So that was the obvious question I was kind of bothered by, yeah? So now...
It could have been an Erev Tov Shilin.
Oh, okay, very good. Okay, very good. So first of all, yeah, the first obvious answer, as we're saying, is, well, this is a Yom Tov Shabbos, right? And maybe he made an Erev Tav Shilin. Oh, we know Erev Tav Shilin. We can do whatever we like for Shabbos. Fantastic, yeah? And that is correct, yeah? But there's a catch, yeah? So first of all, we have to go back a step and look a bit about Erev Tav Shilin, right? Because Erev Tav Shilin is a bit of a mystery, really. And let's speak out why, yeah? Erev Tav Shilin is a rabbinical mechanism, yeah? Right? Whereby, as we know, we kind of, you know, take a baked food and a cooked food, you know, and you put it aside, yeah? But it's really, in essence, it's a rabbinical mechanism, yeah? And you'll see that the Yesod is, a rabbinical mechanism is great, but it cannot permit you to do something which is usher from the Torah. So really, it doesn't. So we have to examine, before we get on too far, we have to examine, why doesn't Erev Tav Shilin work, yeah? And that is based on a Gemara in Pesachim, yeah? Mem Vav Amid Beis, yeah? And there's actually a machlokus, yeah? Between Rav Chista and Rabba as to why an Erev Tav Shilin works, yeah? So let's speak out, yeah? So the first opinion of Rabba, yeah? Is that the reason why an Erev Tav Shilin works is it's a two-step process, right? The first step is this concept of hoel, right? Now what's that mean, yeah? Hoel literally means kind of since, because, yeah? So it says Rabba, whenever you cook on Yom Tov, yeah, and you're cooking for the next day, perhaps to hear the next day's Shabbos, yeah, that food you're cooking, right, is going to be something which could be eaten on Yom Tov, right? And as we know, you know, in Jewish household, you never know, yeah, and all of a sudden, unexpectedly, a guest could somehow burst through your doors, and you know what, you're going to have to find extra food for that guest, yeah? So that's the concept of hoel. Since someone could unexpectedly turn up, this food, says Rabba, this food that you're cooking, it is in some ways, basically, could be considered that it's being cooked for Yom Tov itself, sit on a derisa level, yeah? Since a guest could turn up. And that since that being the case, says Rabba, that's what deals with the derisa problem. There's still a derubanan problem, yeah? You know, if you're not really intending to use it on Yom Tov. And on that, okay, Erev Tav Shilin, the rabbinic mechanism can kick in and kind of finish you off, yeah? But it's a two-stage process. Hoel helps to deal with the derisa problem and then brings it down. There's only kind of derubanan problem if you're not really intending to have it on Yom Tov. And then Erev Tav Shilin then comes and helps you. That's the first opinion. The second opinion is Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, I'm sorry, Rabba, but hoel doesn't really cut it, yeah?
Desert won't help.
Okay, well, actually, we're going to discuss. So reason is, I think this, my understanding is, the simple reason is, because he looks and says, this person is not cooking, yeah, with any intent that a guest is going to come. He's definitely cooking for after Yom Tov, yeah? So we don't look to the fact that objectively maybe a guest could come, right? We look at what his intention is, yeah? And therefore, on a derisa level, if the next day was chol, Rav Chista actually holds, it would be an issa derisa, yeah? And it's not going to help you hold. That's the difference. For Rabba, every case you're cooking, even the next day is actually not Shabbos, yeah? But on a derisa level, you wouldn't get malchus because there's always chol, yeah? But for Rav Chista, he would say, no. Next day is a chol, you'd get malchus. Okay, so what about, we're back to square one. So how are we going to permit Erev Tav Shilin for Shabbos? So say Rav Chista, it's new yesod, yeah? Which is that sorche Shabbos, yeah? Nasin b'yontif. There's on a derisa level, he holds, that on yontif, you can do the needs of Shabbos. Okay? Rashi on that needs a bit of explanation where on the derisa level we get that from, yeah? And Rashi actually brings Pesukim, whereby effectively they're both kind of called Shabbos, yeah? Right? They're both kind of... And what Rashi explains is really they both got a similar kind of kedusha, and in fact, what it comes down to is Rav Chista is holding, according to Rashi, kedusha achas. That really, when you've got a Shabbos and Yom Tov next to each other, it's really kind of like one long festive day, yeah. And therefore, that's why on a derisa level, yeah, you can cook on, you know, for in the morning for the afternoon, you can cook on Shabbos for you can cook on Yom Tov for the Shabbos that comes after it. And again, it's only really a derubanan problem, and again. Fantastic, because we've got Erev Tav Shilin. That's the machlokes of Pesachim. Okay, so two opinions, how Erev Tav Shilin works. Now, let's go back and apply it to our situation, yeah? So once again, yeah, we've got a situation where an egg has been born on the Yom Tov, and we know that obviously you can't eat that on the Yom Tov, yeah? Rabbi Yochanan knows you can't eat Yom Tov. Rabbi Yochanan actually holds by the gzeira of Mashkin Shuzavu we saw before. But whatever it is, it's clear you can't eat it on the Yom Tov, yeah? And now we're asking, yeah, we've made our Erev Tav Shilin, can I, though, cook that egg on the Yom Tov, and then I'll be able to eat it on the Shabbos? That's our question, yeah? Right? Now, Let's think about it, yeah? If we're within rubber, then what does rubber say? The first step always has to be that when you're cooking it here on the on-turf, yeah, guests could come round and eat that egg, in theory. That's essential for rubber, right? But we've got a problem here, yeah? This egg is usser, and it's usser for you, and if guests were to turn up, yeah, after you've cooked it and say, oh, you know, surprise, yeah? You're not going to say, oh, don't worry, I've got an extra egg that I have to have cooked for you, yeah? They're not going to be very happy because the egg is usser. Right? They can't eat it either, right? So seemingly, yeah, for rubber, you made an erev tav shilin, but the starting point is missing, yeah? No one can have this egg on the yontav, in which case it should be back to square one. It's an issa deraisa. Erev tav shilin is not going to help you, right? So, okay, so rubber's out of the picture, and the truth is that the achronim, when they ask this question, and they say, well, wait a sec, isn't there a greater problem of cooking on the yontav, yeah? Their answer is, a lot of them answer, al kochach, you're going to have to say that our whole Gemara is going like Rav Chista, which is basically saying that on a derisive level, the fact you can't eat it today, fine, but it's one whole long Kedusha. Therefore, it's missing on a derisive level.
I mean, Erev Tav Shilin has to take place, would have to take place on Wednesday. So the egg didn't exist, so you couldn't do an Erev Tav Shilin, something didn't exist.
Oh, it's an interesting concept. I'm not sure that's true because I think
you have to actually prepare on the Wednesday for Yom Tov, which is the Thursday. Right? So it's coming in Wednesday night.
Wait, is it? Why wait? Was it Yom Tov? Yom Tov here we're saying is Friday. Yom Tov here we're saying is Friday.
Thursday night into Friday, right?
Yeah.
So Thursday during the day.
Yeah, you're going to do Erev Tav Shilin.
But the egg doesn't exist.
It's true, but I'm not sure Erev Tav Shilin, the actual...
You can't do Erev Tav Shilin on Yom Tov. That's for sure.
Yeah, but I'm saying Erev Tav Shilin, basically, you know, I'm not sure there's a klal that the kind of things you're going to need to cook need to necessarily exist on. Erev Tav Shilin is
but you started some preparation.
You started some preparation. That thing I'm itself. That once you've done an Erev Tav Shilin, you can do other cooking that has nothing to do with the Erev Tav Shilin you've made.
You have to be somech. Oh, I see.
Saying Erev Tav Shilin is not just for the things you've. I hear what you're saying, but what I'm saying is Erev Tav Shilin doesn't just permit the things you've started cooking itself. Once you've started it, it's kind of a general thing and you can do all sorts of other malachas and cooking and things for the next day. Yeah. So anyway, back to here. So what we're saying is, in Achanami, according to a number of Achronim, you'll have to say this only works for Rav Chista, right? Which is a little bit surprising, yeah? Because, I mean, it's worth knowing halacha lemaisa, right? There's a long beer I had because of the Chus Rabbi Yahu. I had to look into this a bit more, and there's a long beer halacha on this. Yeah, we really hold the kind of, you know, generally speaking, you should definitely be choshesh to rubber. Yeah, and one big nafkamin on that. Yeah, is for instance, yeah, what would be cooking close to shkia, where there's no possibility that, you know, it's going to be even ready, maybe, let's say, in time for someone to come to eat it on Yom Tov. Yeah, so the Mishnah Brewer says, yeah, that the simple thing is don't do that. Yeah. He does say b'shas d'chak, yeah. There's two levels. First of all, if you're 2 days yom tov, and it's the second day yom tov in Chutz La'aretz, yeah. He says b'shas d'chak, that will kind of, you know, because anyway it's more lenient, yeah. And he says even if it's if you're talking about like in Eretz Yisrael, then b'shas d'chak, he's kind of very pressed. Yeah? And basically he spells out in the Be'er Halacha because it's basically machlokes in Rishonim, right? So we are generally. We go like rubber, but there are some Rishonim go like Rav Chista, so Shas Tachak, you kind of rely on that, yeah, Tzachakol. But the basic point is, it's very surprising to see that there would be a Mefurish Gemara that really only works according to Rav Chista. So there is a route out, yeah, basically, which I saw, which is very interesting, the Chazon Ish, yeah, to say maybe we can get this to work according to rubber as well, yeah. And we'll actually see, the last thing I want to say is there's another reason why it would help us if it works according to rubber. Now, this is how it works, yeah? Because when we talk about hoel, yeah? So once again, we talk on a derisive level, yeah? We need it to be fitting for a guest, yeah? To eat on Shabbos, yeah? This egg that's asa, we said it's asa for Rabbi Yochanan because of gezeira, right? Peris, right? Mashkin Shazavu, which means on a derisive level, it's actually permitted. So here's the question, yeah? If we're talking on a derisive level, maybe it would be enough if it was on a derisive level permissible and eatable, yeah, edible, by a guest. So how does hoel work? The fact that we say this theoretical thing, it needs to be that it's fitting to eat on Yom Tov, yeah? Would it be enough, right? If on a derisive level, at least it's fitting to eat on Yom Tov, and therefore you would have solved a derisive problem on a derisive level if you analyze it just in isolation. And now all we're left with is rabbinic problems, and therefore Erev Tav Shin helps for that. So if you say it that way, then we're even okay for rubber, because our whole problem is only under a derubim problem. Or the alternative way of saying it, of course, is no.
Because
Rabbi Yochanan.
Yeah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if a guest was to turn up, yeah, you could give that guest, on a derisive level at least, you could give that guest could eat the egg on a derisive level. So maybe if Hoel is just solving a derisive problem, then maybe that works, yeah? And therefore, of course, everything else is derabanan problem, and derabanans, we've got our area of Tav Shilin to help from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So that could be a solution. The other side to it, which is, I think, the simple side in a sense, is to say, no.
Does that fit to the
Hemshib with this Muksa? Okay, but Muksa, I'm saying Muksa also is derabanan problem. Right? I'm saying the fact that all the things associated with this egg, yeah, are all derabanan problems. So all I'm saying is on the question of cooking itself, right, where the first step is to have to say hoel, yeah, on a derisive level, you know, you could cook this egg, it could be eaten, yeah, right? On a derisive level, all the problems to mashkin shazabu, muksa, all the problems, they're all derabanan problems. So maybe it's edible on Yom Tov, and therefore derisive solved the thing, yeah? And therefore, the only thing is derabanan, erev tav shilin, and therefore, basically on the cooking side, I'm fine. The only problem, of course, is the muksa, which is the maskana. Yeah, but our theoretical question is, why isn't there more than muksa? Why isn't there cooking? Now, the only reason why I think the other side to say it is no, which is, I think the simple side is, hoel is kind of something which has to be, is a practical thing, yeah? I have to be able to, it has to be practically usable on Yom Tov. The fact that it is not usable because it's a derabanan issue, you know, I would have said doesn't really matter, yeah? Because at the end of the day, the logic of hoel is, I'm theoretically able to use this on Yom Tov. But if for whatever reason I can't use it, then the whole svara falls apart, yeah? And therefore, really, it's not your Yom Tov dekha cooking. Anyway, this question actually ends up being a machlokes in another area between the Gedolei Acharonim, the Shagas Aryeh and the Reb Akiva Eiger. But at least there is a Chazon Ish brings himself, says that there is a way in which you could fit this Gemara even according to Rava. But the last question I want, this just extra credit, yeah, is according to the Rav Chista side, I was bothered by anyway another problem, which is we said when we spoke about Rav Chista and Pesachim, we said that Rav Chista's logic, yeah, of the fact that you can do Sarchei Shabbos on Yom Tov was based on the fact, according to Rashi, was based on the fact that there was one long kedusha. Now when I started saying this year, I started off speaking about Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. We know that there, right, the starting point was to say that Rabbi Yochanan is holding this two kedushas. We thought that the initial machlokas was Rav was holding one kedusha, Rabbi Yochanan two kedushas. We end up saying no, they both hold two kedushas, and it's a separate machlokas. But basically, we see one thing: Rabbi Yochanan holds it's two kedushas. Yeah. So I was bothered. How on earth could you explain this Gemara according to Rav Chista when the starting point of Rav Chista is it's one kedusha, not two kedushas? That's just extra extra credit. But yeah.
Okay.